Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Need one more perfect read.
Will it be his life-changing moment?
Yes, it will. Captain America captures Augusta.
Who with it now?
All right, back here on a Monday, Zolak, Bertrand, Hardy. That was the Masters finish yesterday at Augusta.
Happy Monday!
A Masters that had a great Sunday. Great finish to the Masters yesterday. Made for a great viewing. For a weekend that otherwise wasn't all that great. It was just okay. But Sunday really took it up a notch, Hardy. Really finished strong.
That was entertaining television.
Yes, it was.
That was a good time.
Absolutely was. And Patrick Reed is your winner. So we will mix that in. But also yesterday, or last night, I should say, and really all weekend long, was not only Red Sox, but Bruins, who wrapped up the regular season last night. Yeah, what do you think about that?
Not like putting a bow on it.
You ever yell at your kids for going through the motions on something? So to potentially have home ice throughout, and it's sitting there in front of you, and to watch a team go through the motions, the way the Boston Bruins did last night, specifically the goalie, too. I think they're going to come out like gangbusters on Thursday. I really do. I think they're going to kick their ass on Thursday night. But, a little worrisome, just the way the entire week, went and what last Thursday was supposed to be with giving guys rest, right? I mean, Tuukka was supposed to rest the whole weekend. He did not. But I don't think they're in trouble. Coach is a little worried.
He spoke after the game. Bruce Cassidy after the Bruins lost last night against the Florida Panthers. After the Bruins didn't show up for the first two periods of the game. Here's what the coach said after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel we'll be a lot better than we were tonight. We better be. We're in big trouble. I just felt that coming down the stretch here, you could start to see us mentally get tired. Physically, I think every team goes through it, the schedule. Every team has difficult parts of it, and at the end of the year, you're a little heavy-legged. But mentally, it looked like we're losing some of our passion, and that showed in the first period. That's what we were missing. And then the execution crept in when we tried to do, when we started to want to get the game back, we did it more as individuals instead of a team. And then the third, we started playing together, but then it's too late. We're chasing the game. So, yes, I guess to get back to your question, Thursday, I believe, will be the 50-win team that we saw all year. We're not going to allow one game to define us. Yet we understand the meaning. We let one get away, an opportunity lost to have home ice advantage. And we'll see if that haunts us down the road. I think it's too early to tell that right now.
That's Bruce Cassidy after the game. I can tell you that watching that game, I was not thinking the Bruins are going to stumble out of the gate in the playoffs again like they did last year at the end of the regular season, where they dropped a couple of games at the end of the year and then never really recovered when they lost in their series to the Senators 4-2. I was not thinking as I watched that last night that, the Bruins, they're in trouble here going into the playoffs. They're now trending down. I never thought that during the game. You know what I did think that? When I heard this guy speak after the game.
It's different. It's different when it's written and you see it in print as opposed to how you actually hear the audio.
During the game, I'm thinking, you know what? This schedule has been a bear for the Bruins. Yeah. Pardon the pun, for the Boston Bruins. The schedule has been ridiculous. They've had over 20 games in under 40 days. That is nuts.
It is.
They've had to play a lot of hockey. They're getting to the end. They've battled injuries. They've had injuries all year long on this team. And they're finally getting to the end of the regular season. And they're not playing their best. You know why? Because they played a ton. And now they're going to get a few days off for the first time in a while. Three consecutive days where they will not have to play a hockey game. And that's going to be good for them. They probably need the break. And that was my thought. Then I heard Bruce Cassidy tell me that mentally they've started to lose it. That gets me a little concerned when the head coach says
mentally checked out,
like he said. And then at the end, he kind of steered it back to, well, I don't expect us to be that team, though. we're going to be the team that won 50 games. I thought that too, Bruce, until I heard you.
Yeah, I mean, he basically is telling you right there, our team mentally checked out. Mentally checked out. They're ready. They're ready for the playoffs. They've checked out. Regular season is over. Was over prior to last night. But this team's had the ability to flip that switch, though. That's what's scary. You know, they come out, have a crap period, or have a crap period and a half, and, all right, let's execute. Let's have passion. Let's elevate. And with the depth that they have, with the youth that they have, with shaking up lines the way he does, they've always seemed to figure it out throughout the course of the year. You only have so many bullets in that gun, I guess.
You know what I started to think after hearing this? Is he being unfair? Is he being a little unfair to the team?
I think he's putting them on alert, and I think that's good.
Or is it just one of these mind games he's playing? Maybe he's playing a mind game.
He couched it, though. He said, we're going to be the team in 150 games. That's what we're going to be. That's the way I expect him to be.
Yeah, but listen to the end of it, though, again, where he's sort of saying, yeah, you know, we don't know how long it'll be before we find out if this one caught up with us.
This guy's brutally honest, and I like it.
That we saw all year, we're not going to allow one game to define us. Yet we understand the meaning. We let one get away, an opportunity lost to have home ice advantage. And we'll see if that haunts us down the road. I think it's too early to tell that right now.
He's pissed. He's pissed they lost this game and didn't come out the way they should have. He's not happy about it because he thinks they may need it, and they may need it. Brutal honesty.
But we
on that part.
How are you not pissed when you're playing Florida, who got eliminated the night before, had to fly from Florida, thought their season was ending at home on a Saturday? No, we got to fly to Boston to play a meaningless game on a Sunday.
Right.
And then the goalie gets hurt in the third period. We still can't get one in Luongo.
What did we talk about the last 2 weeks of the season with the Garden and the big games and the comebacks? The electricity in the building, right? And that place and how it was rocking and how it gets rocking. Like, you could have that all at your disposal through the entire playoffs. And it sucks as a coach because you know what that means. Like, the veterans know what that means. They played here in playoffs. Guys like Bergeron, Tuca, Marchand, they know what it is. Sucks to have to maybe go on the road at some point. At some point.
Well, I can understand being upset because you look at it in the vacuum of the one game. You say, come on, you got one game left. You show up. They don't have to show up. The other team's not playing for anything, and you are playing for something. And then they no-showed. But I'm not just not sure you can look at it in a vacuum. And that's why when I saw the way they came out, I'm like, yeah, they're these guys. They're gassed. They're just at the end here. It's been a long couple of months for this team.
To your bigger point, though, too, is a little bit as he being unfair. Because of what it takes on your body.
Well, he's saying, you know, every team goes through the physical aspect. It's not... He's saying it's not that it's not being physically worn down by the schedule, that it's a matter of them losing passion and other mental aspects that he references.
Does he even address the game? Like,
that's kind of a sharp criticism of the team.
Do you go back
is
and touch
not?
That?
I mean, this is a 50-win team, and now you're going to be all over them for mentally not being tough enough or whatever it might be that he's insinuating here.
So now it's official. You know when all the games line up now, it's and when the next time do they meet, does he turn the page? Do you even address what happened or what transpired? Do you even talk about Sunday night if you're him with the team?
When?
Well, when they next time they meet, today, whatever.
I mean,
skate.
No, I'd move on.
You move on. Just bury it, right?
Yeah, there's no point now. It's over.
Yeah.
You lost.
Just get past
you
it.
Knew what
shovel
was
out
on,
and bury the tape.
You knew what was, back, well, you knew what was on the line.
Take the puck
we
and
all
bury
know
it.
What happened. Do we need to talk about this, or does a new season start now?
Yeah. New season.
New season starts
new
now.
New season.
You know what you did.
I do sense a little bit of a panic among Bruins fans, though, the way this ended last night. And I think that's overstated. I don't think there's any reason for panic. I think it's unfortunate that it went the way that it did, but I would not panic about this team. I wouldn't start thinking that they're going the way that they went at the end of last year. And thank God they have a few days off, because they need it. That's my view. So you're either panicked and you think they're in trouble for the way they played, or you don't think they're in trouble and you think the coach is being too hard. I'm on the side of I think the coach might be being a little too hard on the team.
Whew.
But it's got to be one or the other. It's got to be one or the other.
I understand why you say that. I do understand why you say that. I'm like,
but if you believe what he's saying, then you should, if you think that mentally they have issues with whatever it might be, whether that includes focus or determination, passion, as he said. I mean, if you really believe those things, and if he really believes those things, then he should be concerned for his team. I just don't believe them. I don't believe the team lacks those things. We've got too big of a sample size that tells us they don't lack those things. Have we said that about this team this year? Oh, the Bruins look like a dead-ass team, like they don't care, like they lack passion. That has never been said about that team this year.
Passion.
Because it should not have been said about them. Because they have shown us the opposite. That's why I found those comments so curious after the game last night. And we had a great Masters to watch yesterday. Woo! We played to the final cut of that.
Yeah, fat boy.
More Masters thoughts.
Get the menu ready for next
shirt.
Year.
I think his shirt's too big.
Oh, I think it's...
She kept pulling up his sleeves.
What do you think, Hardy?
Patrick Reed.
No, that's a that is a getting ready to swing cue. A lot of those guys will do that. They will.
But his sleeves look too big.
No.
Some guys don't like to feel that.
A loose shirt.
I'll tell you why some of these guys do it.
All right. We'll get to that. The Masters. Fabulous finish. It did well, ratings-wise. It did really well. More people were watching that than anything else yesterday. Masters, Bruins, and the weekend for the Red Sox, including the injury to Xander Bogaerts. We'll jump into that as well, coming up next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I was always told to win the first, you know, your first major, it's going to be very hard. You know, no matter how big of a lead you have, no matter how well you're playing, that 18 holes is going to be very, you know, there's going to be a lot of ups, a lot of downs. You're going to have to just figure out a way to grind it out. And, you know, every time the leaderboard would switch, you'd hear cheers and moans and just kind of like noises going on. It was Jordan making a run. And then next thing you know, you hear a little cheer on 13 and you look up and now Ricky has made a birdie. And now he's within two. And then, you know, when I was walking to 18T and I heard the big loud roar, I knew. I knew that, okay, well, Ricky just made birdie, and now you have to play 18.
Okay, so Patrick Reed holds off the challengers on Sunday and wins the Masters. How old do you think Patrick Reed is, though? Give me an age. You're so bad at guessing golfers' ages.
Guys,
I love this game.
I fell off my chair in our green room where our little pre-show meeting because Jim was scrolling through some pictures regarding
John Rahm.
John Rahm. John Rahm.
Because he looks like our old intern, Muffin Ass.
He looks like our fat-ass intern, Muffin Ass. The kid that picked up golf like a year ago. Remember, Hardy thought he was like in...
Yes.
Hardy loved him because he thought he's been like this kid that's golfed his entire life. No, I picked it up like 10 months ago.
So
he looks like Muffin Ass. And yeah. Jim said, how old do you think he is? I said, 43. Jim said...
He gets 43.
Hardy?
And was dead serious.
If Hardy grew a mustache and a little bit of a scruffled beard and put his golf hat on, he would look sort of the same age as this John Rahm.
John Rahm. Sosie's favorite golfer.
Like, John Rahm.
When you sit here and look over at Hardy, does Hardy look that much older than John Rahm?
Seriously. How do I answer that without offending Hardy?
No, you can say yes.
He's older than John Rahm.
I think I do, too, so it's okay. Yeah.
I thought he was in his 40s.
And so I was like, I don't know, he's like 25. He's 23.
He's 20.
I overshot him by a couple of years.
20 freaking 3.
He's 23. So how old is Patrick Reed?
I got to go 25.
No. Now you're intentionally going young.
I'm not. I mean,
that's what you're doing now.
That's how I got to base it.
No.
He's got to be mid-30s.
He's 27.
Okay.
25, 35.
Well, the way you acted, I didn't know who the freaking guy was.
No, because I know you weren't giving me a real answer.
God.
And then you did give me the real answer. He's got to be like 35.
How long have you worked with me, Artie?
27.
Years, right? Too many years.
He's 27.
I didn't know this guy's name prior to the weekend. Couldn't tell you who Patrick Reed was.
He's not household for casual fans.
But everybody else, you heard of Ricky Fowler,
so,
you know, Dustin Johnson.
Zoe's point to us yesterday was that, this sucks because no one knows who this guy is.
Right.
Who gives a crap?
Right.
And I told you, I said, if you watched him all weekend, he was a great watch. He hit some ridiculous shots. He was really good. He played really well.
And now he
deserved it. He deserved to win.
He absolutely deserved
to win.
Okay, so I was on the air Saturday morning during the golf show, and I hosted Post to Column that morning. I said, one more round like that, and this tournament is his. He had one more round like that on Saturday.
He was great on Saturday.
And the tournament was his.
You nailed it, by the way, on your tweet.
Thank you. Well, it came down to the end, which is what you always want for the back nine Sunday at Augusta. And I love seeing Fowler out there. I just think he's a fun kid to watch.
With an IE, right?
He's Ricky. 5 foot nothing, 100 nothing.
I wonder how many Rickies out there spell their name IE without a Y.
Yes, totally.
Like that, that's what I was
like,
thinking, too.
I look, right? I look at that when they did a little scroll. They're like, I ain't rooting for that guy. I don't know.
Bombs the ball, even though he's a little guy. But he's got tons of game, and he's got some personality. You know, motocross rider, does other stuff.
Nice pants.
He's not just a, you know, typical. And believe me, I like Jordan Spieth a lot more now than I did 5 years ago. Ever since he put two in the drink on 16 at Augusta and humanized himself, I like him better. But let's face it, him, Justin Thomas, they are exactly the same. They grew up playing, you know, golf from a young, young age, second, third generation golf pros. This is all they do. And they're just not that compelling. Ricky Fowler at least has a little bit of color to
flair.
Him. For the same reason that I like Patrick Reed to watch. And I talked with Patrick Reed for quite a while last fall before the start of the Dell Technologies.
Who would have thought that, huh?
Who would have thought? And I thought he was going to be this salty guy. He's mellowed a lot. Now, he's got a history.
What do you mean he's mellowed?
He's got he has a reputation well-earned for not being a great guy to be around. He was kicked out of college. He's kicked out of the University of Georgia, I believe, for quote-unquote drinking. Like an underage drinking and a minor in possession. A lot of people get those charges against them in college. Not everybody has to leave the university as a result. So there's a lot of questions about that. He's
also has the weird family thing.
He's got a weird family thing. Doesn't talk to his parents anymore, I don't think.
That's strange.
You know, and his parents said years ago, it's like, God, he was a weird kid, man. He was hard on himself. He was at the quick fuse, bad temper.
Is this like an Aaron Rodgers thing or no?
They don't approve. Well, sort of. They don't approve of what was his girlfriend and is now his wife.
Yeah, they got a couple kids.
Right? So they're married now.
I don't approve of her.
She on social media.
I don't approve of you being 27,
don't you
married
ever have
two kids.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And then on top of it, the wife has accused the parents on social media of having physically and verbally abused him growing up.
Oh boy.
Like there's public accusations that have been made. He had them kicked off the course at the U.S. Open a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
Because now listen, they didn't get their tickets from him. They bought their own tickets to go watch and root for him. He found out they were there and had him booted. Said, "Get him the hell out of here," and had them removed. And then his brother-in-law is the caddy. So like it's weird,
that's part of it. The other part
they said
is,
the wife used to be the caddy, right? And then the brother-in-law replaced the wife.
What?
Yeah, those relationships generally don't work out well. You get spouses
with the caddy
or sometimes you're with the caddy but you have a spouse at home. I think Nick Faldo and his caddy,
John Rahm's
years and years ago
girlfriend, but carry his bags.
Here's the biggest knock on Patrick Reed that people just don't like him for. And that is the cheating allegation.
Oh, like Tiger.
A little different.
Let me cheat.
Really?
Yes. Again, in college.
Steroids?
Shane Ryan wrote a book called Slaying the Tiger. Touch and Rich have had him on. I've had him on before. It's essentially about Tiger's gone, who's going to replace him? And he talks about all the young players. Shane Ryan, not a huge fan of Patrick Reed. Wrote about Patrick Reed in less than glowing terms. And one of the things he brought up and talked to some people was that there was the, you know, allegations that he cheated and actually stole from another player back in college. Now, people hear that, and I've heard a lot of knee-jerk, that guy sucks, cheater, you can't cheat at golf, get rid of him. So, I did the unthinkable and actually read what it was all about. And I actually went a little further and found out what the cheating allegation was. Here it is.
Practice rounds, right?
Here it is. In a tournament. He hits his ball into the rough. This is the cheating allegation against Patrick Reed in college. Hit his ball into the rough, way into the rough. He's walking up to it. His own teammates are behind him. Patrick Reed is standing over a ball looking like he's getting ready to hit a shot that he found in the rough that his teammates thought was not as far into the rough as where his ball was. And they said, "Hey, Patrick, are you sure that's your ball?" He looked at it and said, went down, got down. So, you know, when it's buried in the rough, it can be tough to see. Everyone's playing a Titleist or a Callaway. You know, you got to look for your mark. Oh, no, that's not my ball. And then went and found his and hit it. That's the cheating allegation.
Oh.
Well, doesn't exactly blow you away in terms of the worst things ever done on a golf course.
It does say, though, when he went to Augusta State,
I keep four in my 09, pocket just to drop him.
That he was alleged to have been writing down lower scores than he shot in practice. He was writing down lower scores on his scorecard.
To do what? To give himself a better placement in the tournament? I mean, some of these things, it's like, you know, why would you even do that? I don't know. Reverse sandbagging? I don't know. You know, there's a... And believe me, if there's enough smoke, there may be something there, but none of it is enough to make me come out and say he's a bad guy. Because once again, I've talked to him, and I thought he was going to be on my side with this whole rah-rah atmosphere you've got between Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and all these players who are just there for each other and like, yeah, bro, I didn't win, but you did. That's awesome.
Oh,
so
God.
I said to him, like, Patrick, honestly,
so
these guys make you want to puke, right?
Yes.
You know what he said?
Yeah.
No, I think it's great. I think it's great that there's, you know, support out here for each other. Now, whether he's trying to counteract the feeling about him or whether he feels that way, he's not a prick. You talk to the guy. He's not a... He's salty on the golf course, and believe me, in match play and Ryder Cup and President's Cup, nobody wants to play against the guy.
Did you hear him on Saturday about the Twitter stuff? They asked him about why people root against him on social media. He said, I don't care. Why don't you ask them?
Right.
I don't care. You root
is he a polished John
Daly? I don't
Daly.
Care if you root for me, you root against me. I don't care.
You understand what I'm saying? Is he a polished
and
John
he's
Daly?
Also on record saying he doesn't care that he doesn't have friends on the tour.
John,
doesn't care. That to me is endearing because of it's the opposite of what we talked about on Friday, which is Spieth and Ricky rooting for one another. Like, oh, if it wasn't me, glad it was you, buddy.
Or like Spieth and what's his name?
Like,
Thomas.
Did
Spieth play with Thomas?
Yeah. Stop
giving
it.
Each other little yeah. fist bumps throughout
oh,
the day.
Stop.
Of course they were.
Oh, it's so friendly.
Yeah, because Brady and Manning were so like that all the time, right? Well, if it's not me, I'm glad.
Let me tell you who is.
And I just think if you're the opposite and you're telling everyone to go bleep themselves, at least it's authentic.
Let me tell you,
that is real, man.
One of the guys who was standing there, waiting.
My new hero.
One of the guys standing, I believe, was standing with his wife, and then waiting for him, the first to congratulate him when he came off. Matt Kuchar. I don't know that you can find a nicer guy than Matt Kuchar. So that tells you that he is
Jamal.
He's maybe not the universally hated guy that you think he is. If you just want to keep it to the golf aspect of it, he put on a clinic with the way he played the par fives. You saw guys out there struggling. These guys make a five on a par five. Pretty much anywhere, and especially at Augusta, they want to puke all over themselves. That is giving a shot away back to the rest of the field. And you saw a lot of good players making fives, even sixes sometimes. Ooh. Not Patrick Reed. Now, yesterday he had a bit of a stumble, but you go through rounds 1, 2, and 3. Look at his scorecard. 4, 4, 4, 4. Go to 2, go to 8, go to 13, go to 15. Look at his scores on the par fives. He's making birdies on all of them. And that's what helped to separate him. That and it was just putting lights out. He was solid. He was placing the ball in the fairway. And when he wasn't, he was taking his medicine. He wasn't trying to hit hero shots to get out. Beetle, the one that you mentioned that he did chip in for eagle yesterday, that was luck. Let me tell you something. That ball didn't go in. It's 30 feet past. Just like Rory's a couple holes before that. Rory chipped in. If his doesn't go in, so long, sailor.
And when he chipped in, are you kidding me? Like, what?
How excited he is. This is like
It was a great tournament.
He's like a pig in poop
it
today.
It was a great tournament.
John Rahm yelling at himself after every bad shot he took. You could hear it in the background. What an idiot.
Stupid.
You know me. I'm not afraid to hate a guy. I'm not afraid to, you know, go after somebody and say I just don't like him. Patrick Reed is one of the more unlikable guys if you just take a, you know, a quick poll around. I don't have a problem with him. I truly don't. And I think he deserved that thing the way he played it wire to wire, and especially the way he was able to close it out yesterday. And depending on how much you want to talk about this, because I know Spieth and what he did on 18 raised a lot of eyebrows. I'm the first one to jump all over Spieth. I don't have a problem with what Spieth did on 18. I know you want to paint it as a choke job.
No, me.
Jim Love
called it a choke.
What happened to Spieth on 18?
Wasn't down the middle, was it, Jim?
617-779-0985. Also want to know if the Masters is going to bring you back to golf if you're someone that is only into Tiger and Phil. If you're one of those guys, like Zoe is.
Zoe, yeah.
I think this could have been really good. What happened yesterday is really good for the sport.
Great if
for
Tiger
at least this season and maybe more. 617-779-0985. Also, your Bruins calls. And yes, we are still working our way to the Red Sox, who had a fabulous weekend and are now 8-1 on the year. That coming up as well after headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
You heard Beetle. Red Sox are 8-1 on the year after their come from behind victory, the 6-run eighth to give them the 8-7 win over the Rays yesterday at Fenway Park. The series will continue and they open up a series against the Yankees tomorrow night. As for the Bruins, they lost to the Panthers 4-2 yesterday. So, as the playoffs begin, they will be facing Toronto. Bruce Cassidy?
I'm looking forward to two original six teams. They're young. We feel, you know, they've got some veteran guys there. Marlow, Van Riemsdyk, certain guys that they expect to lean on. Kadri's kind of in between. We have some younger guys. We have guys we're going to lean on. We both exited in the first round last year, probably learned some lessons. They got a great coach that I've always looked up to and tried to learn from. I think both good goaltenders. It should be a terrific series if both teams are on their game.
Series begins in Boston on Thursday night. Celtics lost to the Hawks 112-106. They have the night off before visiting the Wizards tomorrow night. Headlines are brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Fred Tutcher and me, Hardy. 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Here at 7-2 Tampa Bay, they're going to bring on a new reliever, the left-hander Alvarado. So the Red Sox with a lot of ground to make up and starting to run out of time, and will have to do it without Xander Bogaerts. Removed from the game after a sliding attempt that took him inside the dugout of the Rays, and then he came up limping and really had to be helped down the dugout steps of the Red Sox.
Hey, here's the play. Now watch Bogaerts as he gets the relay from the outfield to J.D. Martinez. He'll throw it back in. Bogaerts tries to snatch the ball, and it flips it toward the dugout of the Rays. Right there. Now he's chasing it down to make sure it doesn't go in the dugout. And it's somewhere in this area is where the injury occurred, because once he came back on the field, he was limping pretty good. And they had to help him off the field.
That injury for Xander Bogaerts happened in the seventh inning yesterday at Fenway Park. Sliding into the visiting dugout along the third baseline on a ball that was hit off the wall. And Bogaerts had to leave the game at that point. He awkwardly flipped it to nobody at third and then went chasing the ball and went right down the steps into the dugout, into the Rays dugout, which he had to leave the game for. And they're not saying anything.
He's getting an MRI today.
They're not saying anything.
Which scares you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it leads me to, he had to get helped off. It leads me to believe that it's serious. And serious in the sense that he's going to miss time with this. This is not going to be a day-to-day, he comes back type of injury. And I'm basing that on nothing other than, well, he needed help, and then they
heard nothing.
And then
the MRI is today.
Damn thing.
He's not playing the Yankee series. Like, that's what you were looking forward to. Like, he's got off to such a hard start. You know, the exit velocity, the launch angle that we've been hearing about, you know, attacking first pitches. Yeah. Now you got to get ready for what? Brock Holt?
Other than, you know, left ankle injury. That's what they're saying. Left ankle.
Lower body.
No, they didn't say lower body. We're just joking about that. But they are saying that it's a left ankle injury, and that was it. And then there will be updates at a later time. And then Hanley Ramirez last night tweeting.
He's feeling it.
He tweeted this at 6:42 p.m. Are we hot or what? Bring them on. It's going to be fun. And then he wrote, hope X is good, with the prayer hand emoji. Now, I don't like that.
Why you got to slide that in?
Yeah. Are we hot?
We're hot.
Bring on them Yankees.
Let's go. Kick Yankees.
Oh, by the way, I hope Xander's good. Yeah, that's not so hot. Say a prayer for him. Like what?
Like,
we need prayers?
Like he just got a bad text or something.
We need to send our prayers? What the hell happened to him?
Remember when Edelman went down in Detroit and Brady at the end of the game?
Yes.
Boy, we hope we.
Yes, that's what it reminds
hope
me.
We,
of.
Hope we hear good things on Jules. You never know. With these,
which
you know?
Sucks because Xander Bogaerts is off to just a fabulous start. Fabulous start. The team looks good. They've overcome the fact that their bullpen is shaky, and the offense came alive at multiple points this weekend, including what was their most epic win of the year yesterday. Winning in the fashion that they did. A lot of people probably missed that comeback because they had turned over to the Masters.
Yeah, they're showing him getting carried off right now. Again, they just showed the injury where he slid. Ooh! But you don't really see how it happened. But the fact he can't put much weight on that ankle.
Sure it did. He slid, and then he went down the stairs and planted.
I know.
Somewhere
but,
in that
like,
dugout.
You don't see. Remember, who's the golfer last week where his ankle popped out and it popped back in when he was dancing backwards? The guy. What's his name?
Tony Finau.
Yeah, so like you didn't really see it twist one way or the other to where you say, ooh, hopefully it's maybe a knee.
I think something may have even happened before he went down the steps. Like it happened while he was on the slide.
Yeah, you know what scares me more?
What?
Maz is pretty good about medical reports, right?
Yeah, I didn't like that tweet. I didn't like Maz's tweet.
He's been pretty good about
say.
Medical reports recently, and he's talked about, why am I worried about his Achilles?
I don't know, and I wonder, and this was the tweet that Maz had, which he put out at 8:16 p.m. last night. Why am I worried about Xander Bogaerts' left Achilles? Question mark. That's when you start. Is that an informed opinion there, Maz? Is that?
I didn't even realize he said left Achilles. That makes it even worse.
Oh, yeah, left Achilles. Normally, he was specific on which Achilles.
Normally, it's a little bit of a troll tweet. That doesn't have
that
a troll feeling to it.
Have a troll feel to it.
It would be a troll feel to it if it happened like immediately after, but not like 4 hours
later.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't say that when it happened. Ooh, as in like, I just watched it. That could be an Achilles. No, that's like later in the night, hours after the game had ended. Why am I worried about his left? I don't know, Maz. Why are you worried about the left Achilles? Shed a little light on that.
You should have put ... Find out at 2 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
And maybe we will. Maybe Maz will have something for us at 2 p.m. today on the medical front. Maybe we will. Know a little more.
Yeah, but for the bigger part of this, though, they're developing character. And I know it's early, and I know they played some crap teams here to start the year. But the weather's bad. The wind was whipping. They've found ways in games to, you know, fight
did
back late.
Did you see
there's
Xander
something...
Bogaerts' home run on Saturday?
Yes.
Did you see that?
That's your power guy. To me, that's your he and Hanley are your power
guy. I just wonder if the ball has landed yet.
That's what we waited for, right?
Because
that's
I'm not
what
sure
we wanted
it
this
has.
Guy to be.
I also have a suggestion for Nesson as it relates to that home run that I'd like to give them.
Yeah.
I have a media suggestion for Nesson that I'd like to get to, and I also will tell you the ratings from yesterday on television here in the Boston market because I have those numbers. The ratings for the Masters, the Red Sox, and the Bruins.
You have the accurate ones.
I have the numbers. Mm. I will tell you what those numbers are coming back right after this.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job at second hand. Moms bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin Land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to. No goose, only way I begin to G-York was drug loot.
Here are your TV numbers for yesterday in Boston. Masters led the way. Power of network television. 8.14 for the Masters. That's
power
a good
of,
number. And the weather certainly helped because it is still winter here in New England.
Not only that coverage. If you have an awesome TV and if you know the way high def now, or do you remember this back in the day? Remember the Greg Norman ones where you could barely see the ball on the green? And the shots they would have, and it's like from up on top of tower, like you're watching Happy Gilmore. Couldn't really see the ball. The ball basically takes up your whole TV on a pop.
I was thinking about that. I almost like did a screenshot and said, this is what watching golf is like in 2018. As the ball is teetering on the cup, and you can count the dimples. You can see the stray blades of grass around the cup. You can see where the guy who paints the inside of the top of the cup maybe just missed a little bit of a... Unbelievable.
Okay, well, I hate to break it to you guys, but HD television's been around for a little bit, a little while
now. You know what I'm saying?
It's better!
No.
I agree with you, Hardy. I know you're having a very positive day today. You were giddy about the Masters finish. But the last five years, I enjoy
the Masters.
I would say, like, in the last 5 years, you could pretty much count for everyone having an HD TV now.
I'm just saying that.
Yeah, but everything like Thursday, Friday,
they finally got it figured out. They know what shots to.
We got these crappy computers.
It's been like 13 or 14 years since they started.
I know. I'm not saying HD is new.
Well, Zoe's saying HD is the reason why the Masters did well on TV.
I'm just saying it's the coverage and their ability to film it from every angle and pump it.
Yeah, that's been the case for a while.
I don't know.
And they added shot tracker to the Masters for the first time this year, so you can see the flight of the balls that's flying through the air.
I like that. I enjoy it.
I love it.
I wonder if the people who run the Masters, like at a, like the Masters people, whoever those people are.
The gentlemen of Augusta?
Yeah, and look like I wonder if they turn their nose up at that, like, I can't believe we're doing this.
No, if they didn't like it, they wouldn't be doing it.
That's true.
CBS does not run the Masters telecast.
Do you think they had to get talked into it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not something that they would, like, look to do.
Hey, it's a private tournament. They can do whatever they want.
I know they can. And I know they're very stuffy.
They can dictate what, you know, the coverage and everything else. Pull people off when they say things they don't like. Add other people in. Whatever.
Part of what was great, though, I didn't mean to cut you off, but part of what was great was the fact that they had to go from so many different holes to hole, like, quickly, and then you'd hear roars from one side. Oh, we'll show you that what that roar was from in a minute. And it was like red zone. It was like watching red zone on a Sunday.
I mean, and that's really a symptom, if you will, of the tournament and how it played out.
Yeah, because
right? that's on the players. You can't generate that in coverage. That only happens when you have a tight race on Sunday.
And sometimes it falls a little bit short. You know, you're watching, you know, the leaders, and then it's like, let's cut away now to see Cameron Smith and his putt at 16, and he's 45 feet away. It's like, well, I guess he's going to make
this. It's going
this.
In.
Yeah, otherwise, why would they be showing
let's us? Let's see him miss it by 8 feet.
Yeah, this is moments ago. Okay, all right, you know, I get it. But you're right, Beetle, you and Jimmy, you could hear the roars while the stuff was going on. You could see guys backing off of shots, and then would say, it's like, and that roar was because of the, all right, so at least you know they're not trying to trick you into anything.
Yeah.
And there was reason to go look. It was affecting what was going on.
I loved late in the day when they showed you the scoreboard updates on the course.
That was one of the roars. That was one of the roars. It was like you were expecting a big shot, and no, it was the guy peeking out from behind
the
scoreboard.
It was
cool
when the guy posted Jordan Spieth's birdie on 16 to the people watching on 18 green.
But that's good. You're right. That's good television.
TV. Good coverage. I don't think that's why they rated well. But
it helped.
814 for Masters, 716 for the Red Sox. Great number for them for a game that they were not in for most of the day. Had a big comeback. And the Bruins at a 5-5-3. Good sports watching day in Boston.
Wow.
A lot of people watching those three items between yesterday afternoon and last night with the Bruins. And the weather is certainly a factor because the weather here blows.
How's your yard?
I don't know. I haven't been out in it. I only look out the window at it.
Thank God I got trees down everywhere. And I'm like,
a lot of branches
God.
And leaves I got to go pick up when it turns.
I had a tree or a log?
Team of experts going over my lawn the other day. It's like, how are we going to fix this plow gouge? You know, what are we doing here? We sodding? We seeding? What are we doing?
Oh, my God. There's this new thing on Facebook where they have this machine. It looks like a massive spreader.
Candy Crush.
No. But for people that have yard damage, for what you're talking about, like the yard, the strips of the plow guy, or burnt patches, it throws a combination of loam, compost, and seed, and this fertilizer, and all you have to do is water it for 2 weeks, and it regrows your grass.
I don't know if it's the same stuff.
It's a guy that stands on this machine and rides around. There's a company down in Taunton that does it. I'm going to call it again.
Hardy, do you have your phone in the studio?
Yeah.
Just scroll through Facebook in like a half hour. It'll be in your feed.
Because we just talked about it.
Shut up.
And your phone's listening to you.
That is scary.
Yeah. Show me that thing Zoe's talking about.
Well, now you're asking it to. Now.
Siri.
Alexa.
Facey.
Hey, Siri. Show me that thing that Zoe's talking about with, the grass seed and stuff. He's going to find that for me. My thing for Nesson.
Yes.
My suggestion.
What is your suggestion?
So, growing up watching the Red Sox, before they had monster seats.
And the Coke bottles up
there. They had nets above the wall. And they also have a camera that was perched up in the corner of the ballpark, up on the roof, before they had all those seats that are now where the Coca-Cola seats are.
So the parking garage all the time.
So what they would have is that camera, when there's still a camera up in that direction, so that they have shots from that angle, where you can see the ball come off the bat from home plate, where the camera moves with the ball, and you see where the ball lands.
The Manny home run camera. I remember these.
So that camera sort of had to move further into the ballpark, and now you've got the obstacles of seats on the roof, and you've got seats up on the wall. So the it used to be that the camera up in that angle of Fenway Park would follow the ball. It would be zoomed in on the batter. It would follow the ball off the bat, in flight, over the wall, and the camera could move so far left as to be pointing out of the ballpark, and you would see where the ball landed.
Yep.
Which was fabulous.
See the cars on top of the parking garage there.
Okay, I understand you can't do that anymore because the architecture has changed in the ballpark and there's nothing you can do about that. They need to put...
Look at these cameras we have in here.
Relax, I'm about to tell you. You can't follow it all in one motion anymore. They need to put a camera on the back side of the wall or up high in the park that looks out to see where these balls land. So it'll be a different shot. It won't be as smooth as it used to be. You won't be going back to the 80s or 90s when you would watch the ball go out of the park and land in the parking garage and you'd see the parking attendant running to go find the baseball or it having it gone through somebody's windshield. Those days are over. But can we get a camera? It doesn't take much in 2018 to just get a camera. It doesn't even have to move. It can be stationary that points out on to Lansdowne, towards the garage, so we can see where the ball lands. Because I wanted to see where that Xander Bogaerts home run on Saturday landed. I need that. Nesson, do it. Put a camera out there. Doesn't even have to have an operator. Robotic camera, stationary camera, doesn't matter. Take one of these cameras out of our studio. We don't need these things.
But
we'll let you borrow one.
But for the quality that they're going to want. You know, they don't want just a GoPro sitting up there. Is it cost-effective to have a camera sitting up there for that shot? How often is it? Are they going to use it? How often is it going
to
happen?
Oh, the Yankees are coming to town this week, right?
I think you would use it, Hardy. You would use it enough that it would be worth it. I mean, I want to see that as a viewer.
Put it in before Stanton gets here.
I want to see that.
I want to see a lot of stuff, but, you know, everything's got a price.
I'll tell you what. Fire the sideline reporter, save some money there, and do something like that.
I'm pissing GM off.
Do anything. I mean, you don't need those. You don't need that. Save some money. Make a cut somewhere. You want to add something to your broadcast for once? Add something that people actually want to see.
That.
Less filler and something real. That's what I would say. That camera needs to happen. Put a camera on the backside of the park. Want to see where the ball lands. Because that home run for Xander Bogaerts on Saturday was a bomb. Absolute bomb. 617-779-0985. There's also a little bit of a bomb dropping today on the Patriots front news-wise. It relates to Rob Gronkowski and a dust-up that apparently happened between him and Bill Belichick early in the football season last year. That is the bad news. There's also good news. Good, positive Patriots news. That involves Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. We'll get to both of those stories after these headlines.